So good to see all of you here this morning. We've had many who've been sick. The flu has been really bad this year and all across the country, really, particularly in Tennessee. Tennessee is one of the worst hit of the flu season, so we know that so many have been affected by that. We're thankful for those that are doing better, being able to be with us. We know there are many who are traveling and been away from us for a while and are away now. We'll be back, and we're thinking about them. But we're blessed to be here on this first day of the week to worship together and to share these things, sing these songs, be around the Lord's table, study God's word, be blessed in this way. Now let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we are able to assemble to worship you. We're thankful that we have remembered the Lord and the Lord's Supper, remembered his life, his death, his resurrection, and all that he has done to be an example for us. We're thankful that we can assemble here with these fellow Christians who have a common faith, and we can laugh together, and we can talk, and we can share things and try to lift one another up and to be an encouragement to those around us, because we live in a time that's very discouraging. It's very troubling, the things going on around us, but we know that if we stay together as Christians and lift one another up, the church will grow, and that we will lean on one another and find contentment and find joy in this life and live the life that you would want us to live. We're thankful for those who have been recovering from recent illnesses, but we know there are still many who could not be with us today because they're sick. We pray that your healing hand be upon them and bless them. Bless us today as we open your word and study. May your word penetrate our hearts so that we can grow in our faith, grow more to be like Jesus, and to be able to share these things with others so we can bless them as well. We know that without the shedding of your Son's blood on the cross, we'd be dead in our sins, but since he washed those sins away, we are made alive together with him. As he was raised, we will be raised. Receive that eternal home one day. We're looking forward to that place called heaven. And we are thankful for the grace and mercy provided for us so that we can live there. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want us to think about breaking the bonds of bitterness. This morning, if you think about bitterness, you tend to think, well, that's something for older people. And really, in a way, that's true, because older people have lived more days, and so they've seen more things to be bitter about. That's just the way it is. Younger person hasn't lived that long, and they haven't had all of the trials of life. They haven't had the job that they applied for, they didn't get. They haven't had their heart broken that many times. They haven't had loss in their life. They haven't had arguments at work and a spouse to have to learn to live with and have those ups and downs in a marriage. All those things really are lost on young people, but older people have gone through those, and bitterness can creep in. We've said before that the simplest definition of bitterness is old anger. Anger about things in the past. Anger about stale issues, things that happened 10 years ago or even last week, where you say, I'm still thinking about that. I'm going to be angry today about something I was angry about a long time ago. Old anger. And it's a shame, because I know God did not make us to live that way. God did not put us on this earth and say, I want these people to be miserable. We talk about, well, God, you know, Jesus never said you're going to be happy as a Christian. Well, that's true in the sense that we shouldn't attach our faith to happiness. And then when happiness goes away, so does our faith. But God wanted us to enjoy this life. Remember the world that he made. The world he made was a world that was a blessing to Adam and his wife, one that they could enjoy. God did not make a miserable world. This world became miserable because of sin. So God looks at us and says, he doesn't want us to live in bitterness. He doesn't want us to get up every morning and say, what bad thing is going to happen today? How am I going to be slighted in some way? How is somebody going to take advantage of me? How is somebody going to hurt my feelings? Well, here comes so-and-so, And I remember what they did a long time ago, and they're probably going to do it again. God doesn't want us to live with that type of attitude, to go through life that way. And so we need to think about at times, how do we break the bonds of bitterness? How can we do better than that? What's the Bible say about bitterness? It says a lot. And that's why we need to talk about it. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. He doesn't want us to be angry people. He doesn't want us to have clamor, arguments, pick fights. He doesn't want us to be people of wrath. Hebrews 12, verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. The root of bitterness. Don't let something sink into your heart and cause a root in your heart. And that bitterness comes out and people miss the grace of God. They miss the joy that they can have as a Christian because that root of bitterness is there. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter. What is one of the things it says about love? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Isn't bitterness about that? Isn't bitterness somebody saying, I've had a list of all the wrongs that I have ever suffered. Now, I don't have a list of all the blessings that I have. I don't do too much counting of my blessings, but I can list for you every bad thing that person did to me and that person did to me. I can recall them in a second. We can say that's a bitter person who can easily recall every heartache, every pain, every problem, every time they were mistreated. But then you say, well, what's good? What good has happened in your life? And that one's a little harder to come up with a list. But we know people that are the opposite. We still know people that their blessing list is very easy to recall. They talk about things all the time, the ways their life is very good, very convenient, very easy, very blessed. But they don't really talk about all the slights, all the downs of life. The main point today, the thing to remember most, is that bitterness corrodes your soul. Just eats away at your spirit. There are a lot of things a rocking chair is good for. Nice to have a rocking chair in your front porch or your deck or something like that. And just to rock back and forth on a spring day. It's almost like a spring day we're having today, even though there's still salt in the parking lot from bitter cold temperatures Wednesday. Rocking chairs are good for a lot of things. They're not good for going anywhere, because you're not going to go anywhere in a rocking chair. You're going to be doing something, but you're not going to be going anywhere. You're going to be rocking back and forth, and moving a lot, but not going anywhere. And bitterness does that. Bitterness is somebody that can't move forward. They're doing a lot. They're living their lives. They're active. They're talking and living and working and doing all that, but they're not progressing. They are not moving out of the past. They're just sitting there, going back and forth, but never really progressing, going anywhere. Why are you bitter? Why are people bitter? We touched on a few of those things already. Some people are bitter because they just live a life of blaming others. And you can get bitter really quickly when you go around saying that the world would be a great place if nobody lived in it but me. Because all these other people make my life miserable. All those other people don't know what they're doing. All those other people are wrong. Everybody but me. And if you wake up every morning identifying everybody else's faults, you can have a really angry person at the end of the day. Somebody that's very bitter, somebody very angry. Prejudice is why some people are bitter. They find every reason to disassociate with some person based on their gender, their race, their religion, whatever it may be. They find a reason that all of these people are lesser than them. all these people are wrong, all these people are just not as good as I am. So again, you're identifying all the wrong in life, all the things that should be better. And so you have a life, a person that's just prejudiced. They're very quick to notice what should be, what is wrong in others, or categories of people that say they're all wrong. A lot of people are bitter because they misuse the pain that they have experienced in life. Every person in life experiences pain. Not a single person in life that doesn't go through pain. Now you can look at somebody and say, oh, they've got it made. They don't have any pain because they're rich, or they don't have any pain because all of their family is faithful. They don't have any pain because they've never had a disease. Well, you're wrong. Because you only get to see when they let you see. And you don't live in their house, and you don't hear what goes on every day, and you don't know their past, and you don't know the experiences maybe in their family that go back generations. We don't know. What we do know is everybody experiences pain. The question is, how do you use it? What do you do with it? Some people just keep it with them. They wallow in it. They want to be defined by it. Because with many people, if I have pain in my life, something I wrote about in the bulletin this week, I get attention. That's a misuse of pain. Saying, if I'm always miserable, if I'm always feeling bad, if I always have something wrong, then that gets people's attention. That's a way, because I don't really feel like I get attention any other way. Some people misuse pain by lashing out at other people who they think don't have pain. They get angry at them. Again, they point out the wrong in somebody else, and they're jealous, they're envious of what is perceived to be an easy life that others are living. And that creates a bitterness. Some people are blame people every day. Some people are prejudiced. Some people misuse their pain and they end up bitter. Like Sigmund Freud, the famous psychologist, came up with a lot of theories that were some not very useful, some were used well, some have proven to be very accurate. He died at the age of 83. And I've never heard a statement from somebody at the end of their life more bitter, a statement that really identifies bitterness more than this one. But this really does, to me, define what bitterness is all about. And I don't know if a lot of bitter people have said these words, but this is sort of the theme. He said, "I have found little that is good about human beings on the whole. In my experience, most of them are trash. No matter whether they publicly subscribe to this or that ethical doctrine or to none at all." He said, you know what? I don't care if people live by some standard, some ethical doctrine, some ethical teaching, and they live better, they try to live a moral life, or they don't subscribe to anything at all. They're all trash. Now that's bitterness. I don't know what went on in his life throughout his years, even though he's very famous, even though, again, a name that's recognizable today, and clearly the fame did not help him at all. To get to a point in his life where he could look at everybody else and say, they're no good. I'm quite sure that if somebody asked him, "Dr. Ford, are you good?" I'm sure he'd say, "Oh yeah, it's them." It's a shame that somebody would live their life that way and end their life with that attitude. But many do. The Bible says that we have to remove all of that from our lives. Remove that attitude. It's not the attitude of God. John 3:16 tells us that. God looked down at the world that sinned every day. God looked down at a world that had rebelled against him in every way possible. God could have looked down at the world and said, they've condemned themselves because they sinned, and so what they deserve is hell, and that's where they're going to go. And these people are just wrong constantly. But God did not have that attitude of bitterness. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were doing bad, while he could have pointed to every person on earth and said, they're condemned, it's all over. Christ died for us. It's not the attitude of God to be bitter. We can't be godly, therefore, godly is somebody who's acting like God. We can't say we're godly and then have attitude like Sigmund Freud. There are some common attitudes of bitterness. Common statements, maybe not like the one Freud used, but just some general themes that create bitterness. One, no one has it as bad as me. Usually a bitter person will say that. No one has it as bad as me. I knew a lady once whose husband died. They've been married a long time. And she was getting associated with church, and people were reaching out to her and known her husband had recently passed away and offered to make her meals and would talk to her and so forth, and she pushed away every person. She wouldn't accept any gift. She wouldn't accept any meals. She wouldn't accept anything. Went to her house and was talking to her one day and got into that a little bit because other people were saying, you know, we're trying to help and she's not accepting anything. So I went and talked about that, and she said that statement. I don't want anything from them because they don't know how bad it is. They don't understand how I feel. They don't get it. So I don't want what they're offering, because unless they understand, then I don't really want to deal with them. And my response to that was, you're exactly right. I'm not going to argue with you. You're the only person on earth that was ever married to him. You're the only person that ever had your experiences with him. You're the only person, therefore, that's going to know how it feels to lose that person. Nobody does. Nobody understands that at all. It was sad that she was in that state of bitterness when she just said, I'm alone in this. Somebody, others would say, you know, it's too hard to live any other way. It's just sort of easier, again, to live in the pain, to live in the misery, and it's too hard to get out of this. It's too hard to really change my attitude in life. It's just too difficult to avoid seeing this trouble that I have, however that trouble may be in their life. Other people say, well, it's, you know, I just don't have any other choice. I don't have choices. Things just keep happening to me, and I don't ever feel like I have an option. I don't feel like somebody's controlling what they do in life. It's just bad things just keep happening. You may have said one of those statements before. You may have said all three. If you haven't said any of those things, we don't want you to ever get to that point in life. But what's very interesting is that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, answers every single one of those statements. Now, if you know 1 Corinthians 10, 13, you know it's a verse about temptation. And we're talking about bitterness. Somebody said, well, you're a little bit off topic here, but only slightly. Because, yes, the verse does address when someone is tempted and going through temptation. But it's still the same in the sense of you are presented with something in life and you're trying to figure out what to do with it. In the case of this verse, it's about temptation, but it could be about really any trial that we go through. And what Paul says in this verse. You know, somebody says, no one has it as bad as me, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But such as is common to man. Someone who's tempted say, oh, nobody's ever felt like this. Nobody's been drawn to do this bad thing like I'm going through. And Paul says, no, that's common. Whatever's tempting you has tempted somebody else in the past. When we go through a trial in life, when we go through a difficult time, we can feel like, oh, nobody's ever done this before. Nobody's ever gone through this. They have. They've gone through similar things. The woman I talked to said, nobody feels like I do. It's true. They don't have that feeling. They don't have those experiences. But other people have lost family members. There are other widows. Because we all have pain. We all go through those struggles. Somebody says it's too hard. I'm just too overwhelmed. Nothing good ever happens. Paul says in this verse, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You do have a choice in life. You do control what happens to an extent. Yes, we don't sign up to get cancer. We don't sign up to get the flu. We don't sign up for a lot of things. We don't sign up for someone to hit us head on in a car accident. There are many things that happen to us, undoubtedly, of course. But you do have choices to make. The Bible is very clear about that in many ways, saying you are making decisions about which direction to go in life. Jesus talked about that at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That you have a choice, that it's not too hard. That it's not too hard. It's difficult. It's not too hard to improve things in your life and to change your attitude, because the last third of the verse, but the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. You can make it through. It may not be easy. It may take a while, but you can make it through because of all the things God is doing for you. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also. But God's always going to be there on your side. God is always going to be there providing the way of escape, providing the option, providing the choice. For you to say, will I look at all the bad in my life, or am I going to look at all the good in my life? What am I going to do? What am I going to change to get out of this situation? How can you break the bitterness? Here's some things just to think about, and the lesson will be over. To avoid bitterness, or to get out of bitterness if you find yourself there, remember, I'm not as good or as bad as somebody says I am. You've heard that before. A lot of bitterness comes when we listen to others and we think that whatever somebody says about us is gospel. Isn't it interesting? Somebody that you don't like in the first place, and then they say something about you, and you believe it. You think that that is absolutely the truth, and you take it with you, and you think about it, and it lingers in your mind. You don't believe anything else they ever say, but if they say something bad about you, you believe that. It's strange. On the other hand, we can live on the other extreme and take any compliment, any good thing, and make ourselves to be so much bigger and better than we really are. And so to avoid that place of bitterness, to avoid getting wrapped up in what others say, we just say, you know what, I'm not as bad as this person says I am, and I'm really probably not as good as this other person says that I am. It's like Paul when he was in Malta, the same town, he was accused of being a murderer. which in his old life may have been an accurate description, but definitely not when they accused him of that. And you know what Paul did about that when somebody said he was a murderer? Nothing. In the same town, others called him a god. You know what he said about that? Nothing. It was the opinion of the crowd. One says you're the worst person ever. The other side says you're the greatest person ever. He wasn't living for their disapproval or their approval. So it made no difference. We all need encouragement. We all need compliments. We all need people to recognize the things that we do that are good so we can keep doing them, that we want to keep doing them. And no, we don't want to hear insults. We don't want to hear criticisms. At times they're constructive. At times that person may be right in what they say. Hopefully they say it in a way that is productive. But we don't need to take those things to tear ourselves down too much or lift ourselves up too much. I think it's a way that we can avoid a bitterness that may creep in later. We need to remember, we need to say to ourselves, I'm a sinner saved by grace, saved by the grace of God. Again, that tends to soften the heart. Tends to get us out of that mold of bitterness. Say, I've sinned, but yet I can be saved by the Lord. I can go to heaven in spite of that. The sins that I've committed, the things that I've done, I know that I'm going to be saved because the Lord saved me. And in spite of all these bad things that go on in my life, in spite of all the trouble that comes my way, in spite of all these things that have built up that weigh on me every single day and I think about all the time, in spite of all those things, God still loves me and I know I'm going to heaven. Something we may just need to say to ourselves all the time. And finally, just need to tell the truth. Need to tell the truth. People lie to themselves all the time. They lie to themselves about other people all the time. We make up things about other people that we don't know to be true. We think they're true. We make them true in our minds. How others feel about us, why people do things to us or say things about us, we think we know. We look ourselves in the mirror and lie about ourselves. We're not good enough, not strong enough. Nobody likes me, all those things. We just lie all the time in our own minds. Just constantly fill our minds with these types of thoughts. And of course, if that's what happens all day long, then you will be an extremely bitter person. But you just simply tell the truth. Find yourself in a much better situation. Not as bad as people say that I am. God loves me every day. The Lord is going to keep washing my sins away as a Christian. I don't care if somebody calls me a murderer. I don't care if somebody calls me, puts me on a pedestal, lifts me up, and I'm just going to keep pressing ahead, putting one foot in front of the other, living by faith. And knowing that's the best life to live. And I'll be able to approach the end of life being very happy, being very blessed, recognizing all my blessings and saying, the Lord really did help me through it all to get me to this point. Not lay on a bed one day and like Sigmund Freud say, you know what, all this world, all the people in it are just trash. What an insult to God for someone to live and think that way. It's hard for someone who is bitter to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard for someone who is in that position to do that. So we wouldn't want anybody to have that today and to try to create more humility for somebody thinking about becoming a Christian. Today, or somebody who just needs prayers, ask yourself, how does bitterness benefit my life. It doesn't do anything for you. What does it help? How does it help you? Does it help you mentally? Does it help you physically? Does it help you in your relationships? What does it do for you? It doesn't do anything. What about asking yourself, do you want God to be bitter toward you? As we talked about earlier. You may be thinking today about your own spiritual life and say simply, you know, bitterness isn't helping me. I don't want God to be bitter toward me. Why should I be bitter toward others? And I saw this great illustration about the two monks who were going by a river one day. They're walking home and they come across this woman and she's sitting there by the side of the river and she's crying. And they look at her and they say, man, what's wrong? And she said, well, I've got to get to the other side of the river and I know that I'm too weak to do that. I can't get to the other side. There's some things I need to do over there. And I used to be able to walk across, to get across, but I can't do it anymore. And they said, well, that's no problem. We'll carry you. So they picked the woman up and walked her across and set her down. And she was so thankful. She went on her way. And the man kept walking. And one of the men said, you know what? Now we're on the wrong side of the river. And we were going to go somewhere else, but now we're on the wrong side of the river. And he said, well, the other one said, that's no big deal. That's no problem. Everything will be fine. They keep walking along a mile or two, and he says, first guy, monk says, my back is killing me. He said, isn't your back hurting a little bit? And he said, yeah, that's, I can feel it. You know, I really wasn't planning on doing that today, carrying her across the river, walking across that, and they walk another mile or two, the first monk again. He says, my back is killing me, and I can't believe we did that, and that lady should have found somebody else to carry her. Why isn't your back hurting like mine is? And the second monk just simply said, because I put her down 5 miles ago. You're still carrying her. That's what we have to do, is put it down. We have to put down things that are in the past, just keep on walking, keep on doing the right thing. You do need to become a Christian today. I encourage you to do that. And to put down those things that may be preventing you from doing that. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need to ask for prayers this morning, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to extend you that invitation. We would pray with you, pray for you, try to encourage you today because, again, we all experience pain. We all experience some type of trouble. No one is free from that. So it's by no means an insult or a criticism to say that you may be in that position. We're simply here to help. Whatever your need is this morning, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.